I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Here's a thing to do if you happen to subscribe to Netflix Instant View. Go there and watch Monsters, the film that director Gareth Edwards did before he was given Godzilla. Keep your expectations in check. The film is interesting, about a photojournalist who's ordered to escort the daughter of his publisher out of Mexico after an alien infestation creates a no-man's land at the U.S. border. But it has its problems, most prominently a meandering, documentary-like tone that loses the story in random character moments, and characters that, frankly, you don't care much about. It's got a Wim Wenders vibe to it, and like some of Wenders' work, really only pulls itself together in the last half hour when it has some keen things to say about humanity's dominion over this world. What you will see in context to Godzilla, the film we're actually talking about here, is something of a question of scale. Despite what the calendar tells you, we are firmly in the summer film season now, and summer films are big films. Big stakes, big effects, big, big monsters, big dollars at the box office if it all works. Even sometimes when it doesn't actually work, because we as filmgoers are a perverse lot, aren't we? Yeah, we are. The challenge is, even as these films lean heavily on spectacle, what's there to keep it all from devolving into a computer-generated light show? What's there to make us care? Godzilla couldn't be more different from Monsters. Monsters is small and experimental. Godzilla is conventional and commercial. Yet there are things Edwards achieved in Monsters, even if he wasn't quite successful there, that he has brought over in the process of scaling up to Godzilla, and they definitely help. Some of what transfers over is obvious. The main storyline, for one thing, of Godzilla's hero, a lieutenant and demolition expert played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, on an odyssey to get back home, back to some representation of stability and normality, even if it's clear that that may no longer exist. There's even a meeting in Godzilla of two of the Mudos, the insectoid bad guys of this film that Godzilla will eventually clash with, that directly quotes from the finale of Monsters. More important, though, is that what Edwards did in Monsters in focusing on the human aspect filters through to Godzilla. There appears to be grousing in some corners that we don't get to see the big guy, Godzilla, our film's actual star, in action enough. And true enough, through the bulk of the film, Edwards orchestrates ways of abruptly short-circuiting what we expect to be a payoff, having shelter doors cut us off from a clash, or just simply cutting away when all else fails. But that does two things. One is to forestall the big pyrotechnics for the place where they belong at the end, and I wish Michael Bay would learn that lesson. The other is to keep us connected to the humans in the midst of all this destruction, to place it at their level and make it all have stakes more compelling than just a big boom. And I'm grateful for that. Godzilla doesn't really aspire to more than being a good, solid summer action film, and it succeeds quite well at that. Better than well, even. It is really good fun. Gareth Edwards, for his part, seems to be perfectly fine with aiming for that target. Those moments that root the proceedings in humanity don't function as anything more than ways of keeping the stakes grounded between the major set pieces. But the fact that Edwards has an appreciation for how crucial that human element can be speaks well for his approach to the material. And occasionally, a little more slips in. Moving into the third act, he does something a little unusual, something that was actually in the teaser trailer, if you remember that. As our hero is parachuting into San Francisco, where Godzilla will have his final clash with the Mudos, and where just coincidentally the hero's wife and child are, just to raise those stakes, Edwards puts Ligeti's Requiem for Soprano, Mezzo-Soprano, Two Mixed Choirs, and Orchestra on the soundtrack. It's a fittingly atmospheric piece for the moment. It emphasizes the eeriness of the scene these soldiers are dropping into. But an odd choice for the fact that Edwards has Alexander Desplat doing the honors as composer, and here the director has decided to go with a needle drop, recorded music, for this particular moment. Until you recall that this is also the music that Stanley Kubrick used in 2001 A Space Odyssey, every time the monolith appeared, every time humanity was confronted with the realization that there exists something greater than ourselves. Not much earlier in Godzilla, Dr. Serizawa, the film's resident Godzilla expert played by Ken Watanabe, remarks upon humanity's erroneous impression of its dominance over nature. Maybe in his choice of music, Edwards wants to replicate that notion of humanity encountering the uncanny, of abruptly getting slammed with a new perspective on humankind's place in the universe. That was also a theme explored to more affecting results in Monsters, and while here it's just a moment before we go back to the clash of big-ass monsters, what we paid our bucks for, after all, that Edwards appreciates the greater theme makes all the difference in making Godzilla more than the sum of its effects sequences. No mistake, the film is 2 hours of monster candy, really nothing more. But it's smarter monster candy, smart enough at least to know that an uncut diet of sweets isn't healthy for body or brain. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews now over at CineFantastique Online. If you want to catch up on what you missed, check us out over at cfqonline.com.